HP revenues expected to grow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Hewlett-Packard has struggled with its pretexting scandal. In fact, just yesterday, former HP chairwoman Patricia Dunn was in court. She pleaded guilty to charges of fraud and identity theft related to efforts to spy on board members and journalists. But despite the headlines, the company seems to be going strong financially. HP will release quarterly earnings later today. The company's profits are expected to be up 25% compared to a year ago. Diantha Parker reports.
Analysts expect HP will notch a 5% increase in total revenue this quarter, or just over $24 billion. Despite the legal troubles in the boardroom, HP is now leaner and better run than it has been in years. New CEO Mark Hurd gets much of the credit for the turnaround. Morningstar analyst Rick Summer says the company has beaten its biggest rival, the bloated, complacent old HP of the past. Still, Summer thinks the company's shares are currently overvalued.
We think they're a little extended and they're a little ahead of what they're worth today in terms of a stock price. I think a lot of people are going to be looking at the PC and the hardware market.
While HP has cornered the printer market, Summer says the company needs to boost sales of other computer hardware, like laptops and servers, to really stay ahead. I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace.
Walmart is getting the green light in Mexico. The government there has said it will give the company the go-ahead to open a consumer bank. The bank will probably concentrate on in-store credit and personal loans. This won't be the first time a retailer opens a bank in Mexico. An electronics retailer called Electra has booths in their own store at the back for banks. The new James Bond film is being used as a recruitment tool by the British intelligence agency MI6. Stephen Beard has more from London.
MI6 is cashing in on the latest Bond movie, seeking new recruits on the back of the film's publicity.
You'll be shaken, you'll be stirred, you'll be blown away.
It doesn't bother you, killing those people.
Well, I wouldn't be very good at my job if it did.
As the movie premiered here this week, actual serving spooks gave their first broadcast interviews. With his voice disguised, one of them spoke on BBC Radio about the joys of being a secret agent, pointing out they have no license to kill.
The job of the service is to obtain intelligence and to help prevent, for example, terrorist attacks. And in doing that, we work under UK law. So there's absolutely no room in that for killing people.
MI6 needs more agents for the war on terror and says a career in the service can be highly satisfying, but not perhaps as glamorous as 007's. Among the staff benefits on offer, there's a take-your-bicycle-to-work scheme. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Casino Royale opens in the U.S. tomorrow. Speaking of films, 20th Century Fox will reportedly announce a hedge fund-backed film financing deal worth more than $520 million. The Financial Times says the Fox agreement has Dune Capital Management refinancing a slate deal. That's an agreement to produce several films. Minutes from the Fed's latest meeting heartened investors. As a result, yesterday the Dow climbed 33 points to 12,251. The Nasdaq rose 12 points to 2442, and the S&P eased up 3 points. This is Marketplace. In news the market will be interested in, Hertz isn't quite in the driver's seat it wanted to be in. Hertz Global Holdings had one of the largest initial public offerings, or IPOs, of the year. The company raised $1.32 billion. The price was $15 a share, below the expectations of $16 to $18 a share. The IPO comes less than a year after private equity firms bought the company. Dell was expected to release its third quarter earnings today, not anymore. Now the company says it will post those earnings by the end of the month. The complication is an investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The 15-month-old accounting probe by the SEC at Dell has turned into a formal investigation. And closeout retailer Big Lots posted a profit for the third quarter. The company reported a net income of $1.7 million. That compares to a loss a year earlier of $18.8 million. The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Wine lovers probably know today is Beaujolais Day. The famous Beaujolais Nouveau wine is shipped out just once every year, the third Thursday of November. Another piece of wine trivia, one out of every four bottles in the world comes from one company, the family-run E.J. Gallo. In this installment of Conversations from the Corner Office, Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl sat down with the second generation to run the company, Joe Gallo, and talked about the family business.
Why wine in 1933 when your dad and your uncle started this company? Why not?
Well, it's sort of, that's a good question. My dad grew up on a ranch in Modesto, and they grew grapes during Prohibition. It was legal to ship wine, grapes east for home wine consumption. So when Prohibition was repealed, it was just sort of logical for them to go into the winemaking business. And you probably heard the story how they did it.
You know, go ahead, tell me.
Well, they basically didn't know much about making wine, so my dad went to the library, got a four-page pamphlet how to make wine, didn't have any money. So he figured out how to go to the growers and say, look, you can get 160 gallons out of a ton of grapes. I'll make the wine. I'll give you 20% of it. I'll take the rest, or some sort of formula. Made a profit the first year, and they're very practical people.
When you make business decisions about this company, how are those decisions informed by your family history?
Well, I think that the... ought to respect your question, the more influential factor has been around my dad for 50 years. Seeing how he's dealt with opportunities, how he's dealt with adversity, been around that experience, and his basic values for 50 years is a very compelling experience to go through.
When you were young, did you put in your time in the vineyards?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Do you remember it fondly, or was it mostly tough labor?
I didn't mind it. My dad always believed in work for children. And so I spent a lot of time in the vineyards. Used to go to the office with them on Saturdays, that sort of thing.
What do you want out of the third and fourth generation of Gallos? Do you want smart business people, or do you want great winemakers?
I want them to do what makes them happy.
So it's fine with you if your grandson comes to you one day when he's 23 and says, Grandpa, I don't want to make wine.
It's fine if they don't want to go in the business. I think one of the biggest mistakes family businesses make is to try and get their children to go into business when they don't have an interest. Unless you have an interest, you won't be good at what you're doing, and you won't be happy. And if you're not happy, you won't be successful.
This was, at one point, Gallo was, a small company. I'm wondering, though, if you think you can be a small winemaker and still survive.
Oh, I think so. There's always room for people to make a quality product. There's thousands of wineries in the state, and I would say that most of them are doing very well.
Joe Gallo, thanks a lot for your time.
Nice to be with you.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.